Amen.
Amen.
Good job, Clark. Appreciate that. Good job. Today is Easter, and as Christians, we are here and gathered to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And even as we celebrate, there is the realization that much is wrong in this world. Unrelenting hatred seems to rule supreme in the hearts and lives of so many, and the fruits of terror or evil are all too evident. It was 24 years ago on February the 27th, 1991, at the height of Desert Storm, that Ruth Dillo received a very sad message from the Pentagon. It stated that her son, Clayton Carpenter Dillo, private first class, had stepped on a mine in Kuwait and was dead. Ruth Dillo wrote later and said, "I can't begin to describe my grief and shock. It was almost more than I could bear. For 3 days I wept. For 3 days I expressed anger and loss. For 3 days people tried to comfort me to at no avail because the loss was so great. But 3 days after she received that message, the telephone rang. The voice on the other end said, 'Mom, it's me. I'm alive.'" You can imagine the excitement of a mother to hear her son was alive. Ruth Dillo said, "I couldn't believe it at first, but then I realized his voice. He was really alive." See, the message she had received from the Pentagon was by mistake. She said, "I laughed, I cried, I felt like turning cartwheels because my son, whom I thought was dead, was really alive." She went on to say in her note, "I'm sure none of you can ever begin to understand how I felt." Well, probably not. But some of who walked the pages in the New Testament would have understood how she felt because they experienced the same emotions themselves. One day they watched their best friend, their teacher, the Messiah, being nailed to the cross. They witnessed his pain, and they heard him cry out, "I thirst. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" They listened as finally he bowed his head and said, "It is finished." And then they heard Jesus say, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." They watched as his body was taken from the cross and buried, and all of their hopes and dreams, to their knowledge, were buried with him. Friday, all day on Saturday, they mourned until finally on the first day of the week, early in the morning, the scripture says, some women made their way along a path that led to his tomb, wondering who would roll back the stone for them. But when they arrived at the tomb, the Bible says that there was an angel there standing in full array. And they looked at the women and they said, "You're looking in the wrong place. You're looking for Jesus among the dead. He is not dead. He is alive. He is risen. just as he said he would. So this morning we can all say, he is risen. He is risen. And that is what we celebrate this morning. When all the evidence is in, we're convinced that Jesus is alive. He is risen from the dead, and what a difference the resurrection makes. What it means to each one of us. Now take your Bibles, and I want to read the first eight verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is a great resurrection chapter of the Bible. I love reading this passage, even if it's not on Easter morning. You know, it's a wonderful passage of Scripture to read. Take it out and read it sometime. And if there's any doubt in anyone's mind, this should erase any doubt in anyone that's not even a believer. Because everyone is looking for a hope in this world. They're looking for something that they can cling to and put their faith in. And you can imagine all of those there at the foot of the cross when Jesus crucified on Saturday. It seemed like their hopes were just vanished. They were in despair. They were just like Ruth Dillow. She was saddened. She was heartbroken. She was grieved all the way to her spirit. And naturally, anyone would be, just like those in the New Testament. But listen to what Paul says right here. I love this passage of Scripture. It tells us the fact of Christ's resurrection. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, and you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Paul says, "Forbid it if you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as the first importance that I also received that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep." That means they've gone on to meet the Lord. The body's laid to rest, appears to be asleep, but the spirit is with the Lord. That's what Paul is saying here. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, Paul says, "As one who untimely born, he appeared to me also." Paul included himself there in this passage of Scripture because Paul was called as an apostle. So with that introduction, Paul goes on to present a tremendous testimony to the resurrection of Jesus. And then if we go a little bit further down to verses 51 and 52, I like this as well. This makes you want to walk around all the time looking up into the sky. Because when it happens, when Jesus comes again, and he says he is, and I believe with all my heart and soul, that he is coming again a second time, and listen to what it says. Verses 51 and 52. "Listen to, I tell you a mystery." Does everybody like a mystery? You like secrets? We like to tell them, but we don't like them told, though, if we tell a secret, though, right? I'm telling you a secret, so don't tell nobody else. But Paul's saying, "I'm telling you a mystery right here." He said, you know, it's hard for me to us to comprehend everything that the Lord does. But he lets us know everything that is important that we need to know, so there won't be any misunderstanding. But he says, listen. Listen with all of your heart. I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash. Quicker than a camera, right? You know how fast that is. And then it said, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishably, and we will all be changed. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who remain and alive will be caught up with the Lord. Paul wrote those statements as well, as they were given to him by the power of the Holy Spirit. So with those words ringing in our ears, think about it. Let us consider some changes, some transformations that the resurrection of Jesus has already made up to this day. Because we know that he was crucified, we know that he was placed in the grave, that he did die, and now that he has risen again, I want us to look at the transformation of the cross and the tomb. And to illustrate the transformation that Christ's resurrection has already made, think about the cross and the tomb. Think about that just for a moment with me. Before his resurrection, the cross was known only as an instrument of horrible death. Rough wood soaked with human blood. So terrible was this form of execution that the Roman Empire prohibited the crucifixion of Roman citizens. See, it was that terrible, but yet they was willing to do that to our Savior. What a cruel, no one, I cannot begin to comprehend myself the severity and the cruelness of the crucifixion that our Lord and Savior went through. We should shudder at even the thoughts of it. And especially if the Roman Empire government prohibited any Roman citizens to be crucified that way. Yet, they allowed our Savior to die in that manner. But today, because of his resurrection, we wear a replica of the cross as a piece of jewelry, a thing of beauty for all the world. The cross seems to be a symbol of hope, a reminder of God's love for us, because it's all spelled out to us in John 3:16, isn't it? For God so loved the world. He certainly did. And what about his tomb? Before the resurrection of most of the world, the grave was looked upon as a final chapter, and as it was preached on Friday by Curtis Black, the pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church that spoke the message on Friday, that it appeared to be the final chapter, the closing of the great door that ended everything. It ended everything. That's what everybody had thought. But because of his resurrection, we can rejoice today beyond the death, where there is life, where it really begins, and it will never end. It will never end. And that makes you wonder. Makes me wonder, doesn't it? Why we spend so much time worrying about and fretting about material things or these earthly things here. Dale Evans once said, I spent most of my life searching for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. How many has been looking for their pot of gold at the end of the rainbow? You heard that all of our life, haven't we? We just, it's just right over there. But when you get right over there where that you think the rainbow comes down, it's not there, is it? But she goes on to say, then I finally found it at the foot of the cross. What an excellent answer. You look your whole life for a fortune, but it's right at the foot of the cross where Jesus paid it all. See, all our lives, it seems, we work and struggle to accomplish things that we think are important. But when we're dealing with death, what happens after death, then all these things seem, I think, unimportant or even insignificant. What difference does it matter or make? What kind of cars we drive, or what kind of houses we live in, or of all of these things that we place great value on. If we're thinking about eternity, then what difference does these things make at all? Nothing does it. On the other side of the resurrection, everything that we see is temporarily. Only the things that we can not see are eternal. That's why Hebrews 12:11-1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of those things not seen. So the things that we can't see are the things that are eternal. And that's where our hope and our trust is, should be focused, in those areas. Because, I mean, we can see, we can feel, we can touch. You know, God has given us these wonderful five senses for us to be able to know all about the physical life. But if we will use our spiritual senses to understand that the eternal things, the most important things in life, the things that sometimes we take for granted that will be ours, will be the benefits of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we know that He did die and He rose again. He offers us that because He paid the price. Hallelujah. He did that for us. What a difference the resurrection makes. And then finally, the transformation of life itself. Have you been listening to the messages of the world lately? not very pleasing, are they? Appeasing or good for the ears or uplifting? Have you been hearing the voices of hopelessness and despair that seem to be so prevalent in our day and time today? If you watch and listen very long, you can be filled with despair. And if the only hope that we have is to hope that this world offers, then we have no hope, because the message of this world is despair. But in contrast to this, Jesus said, I have come to bring you life, that more abundantly, to show you how to live, to bring you hope, to bring you joy and peace and love, to forgive you, to give you a reason for living. That's what Jesus said. That's why I came. And even if life is racked with pain, even if our life is racked with all the pain in this life, even if there is loneliness and sorrow, you'll be able to go on. Think about it. We're able to go on. You'll find the strength that comes through Jesus and the power of the resurrection. I want to close with this one verse. And this is what Paul says here in this chapter. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the resurrection makes all the difference in the world. Death has no sting over the Christian, has no victory over us. Because today we celebrate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who overcame all the obstacles for us. Think about it. We should be shouting, praising God for what He has done for us this day. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for the power and the message of the resurrection. We know that You came and died on the cross. And Lord, what such an awful death to have to go through, even to witness, even to read about. But Lord, You did it because You loved us. Your Heavenly Father loved You and brought You into this world to make a difference. And that's why the resurrection is so much different than anything else that we could comprehend. Because it shows us the victory and the power over death, over sin. And You offer that to each one of us here this morning. If there's anyone here that doesn't know You, or if anyone here that does know You and they have any doubts, Lord, I pray Your Holy Spirit will illuminate our hearts in such a way, tenderize our hearts to the point that we completely trust You and we know that we have hope in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for loving us and caring for us and going to the cross for us. Lord, help Christians and help people who are seeking for something much greater than this life. Lord, help them see with their heart that You are real. And not listen to the world, not listen to Satan, because Satan is trying to destroy everyone, even Christians he's trying to deceive, believing that the cross, the resurrection, never happened. But Lord, I believe it. And I believe that most everyone here today that knows You personally believes this. For those that don't know You personally here today, Lord, Your Holy Spirit is able to open the hearts, the eyes of our innermost being to show us the truth. Lord, I praise You and I thank You for the response of the invitation today, because it is Your invitation. May we receive it openly as You receive us unconditionally. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is